Hello, a very good Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here on Highland. Coming up on the programme, Gavin Halpin, originally from Letterkenny and director of Paper Owl Films, joins us on the programme to discuss new T.G. Cahir documentary series Racked. Donald Trump wants to build a massive wall, but not along the Mexican border, to protect his Doonbeg Golf Club and Resort. We'll discuss the issue. Tommy Callahan of Our Native States in studio to perform live and discuss his involvement in a concert for the Simon community. Amy Beth McNulty is a young Donegal actress and will hit our screens tomorrow night in new RTE miniseries Clean Break. We'll have a chat. Siobhan Shields in studio singing live and discussing the latest Music Night APE. Well, the live performance actually comes from Paddy Nash. And we also discuss walking in Donegal, a Miva Fire Service fundraising auction, and the Relay for Crumlin Hospital event taking place later in Buncrana. Okay, so lots to squeeze in between now and 12 o'clock. Hopefully we can enjoy your company this morning and your texts, calls and comments. Anything you want to talk about? 086 77 00 555. Did you watch Daniel on Strictly Come Dancing last night? Didn't he do well with the Wolves? 24 points he scored. I've never watched that programme before in my life, but made an exception there last night. And I have to say, he was really, really good and come across really well and got some great reviews as well. So fair play to Daniel O'Donnell. 086 77 00 555, as I say, is that text number. Or you can call us on 074 91 25000. Yvonne McFadden, as always, taking your calls on the programme. A quick look at the papers and what's making the news this Saturday morning. The Irish Sun, Will Kill Freddy. This is the story of gangland godfather Christy Kinahan. He's made his former pool boy Freddie Thompson his next target. The Dapper Dons gang has hatched a plot to kill the close pal of Gary Hutch after deciding the bald gangster ripped him off. That makes sense if you follow the gangster scene, I suppose you could call it, in Ireland. I certainly don't. Swallow those names mean nothing to me. Inside the paper, though, cop car TD under fire. Apparently, a taxi driver has accused Minister Dara Murphy of turning down a ride in his cab to take a free lift from a Gardaí instead. The minister has been slammed for tying up cops on a 5-hour early morning round trip when his car broke down en route from Cork to Dublin Airport heading for an EU meeting. Cabbie Gerardy Murphy fumed, "This is a waste of Garda resources and is scandalous." And the Cork North Central Sinn Féin TD Jonathan O'Brien added, "Garda must be allowed to perform their duties safe in the knowledge they will not be called on to work as a private car service for ministers." And the Kennys weighed into the issue. He said it was an emergency and sees nothing wrong with that. The Irish Daily Star has a story about a well-known businessman in Dublin who's been charged with sexual assault and the rape of teen boys. The Star can reveal the married hotel boss from Dublin has appeared in court accused of 80 offences between 1994 and 1996, but they do not go on to name the person in question. But by all accounts, they have identified him very strongly, if you read on in the article, which is not really in the spirit of the law of protecting the identity of alleged victims, but that is the front of the Star. Hutch betrayed for 5k. Another gangster story on the Irish Daily Mirror. Slain gangster Gary Hutch's Costa del Sol Bolt Hall was betrayed to his enemies for just €5,000, the Irish Mirror can reveal. Irish Daily Mail, well, they lead with the Garda cars aren't taxis for hapless politicians story. Junior Minister Dara Murphy is coming under increasing pressure over his use of a Garda squad car to ferry him and his wife from Cork to Dublin. There's also a picture of the Pope, who has been comforting families bereaved by the 9/11 tragedy. Now, the Irish Times, what's on the front of this paper? Coalition seeks scope for bigger tax cuts. Government officials are looking at the scope for bigger tax cuts than the agreed $750 million limit through a series of revenue-raising measures. An increase in tax on tobacco and diesel has been mentioned, as well as an increase in the €150 million bank levy. There's no agreement on any of these matters, but discussions are to intensify next week ahead of Budget 2016 on October 13. Now, those of you living in Letterkenny will have been subject to a smoky coal ban. Well, apparently it's going to be spread right across the country. It's proved to be a great success, it seems. A statewide ban on the sale and use of smoky coal is expected to be announced by Minister for the Environment Alan Kelly on Monday. The initiative is due to be revealed at a Clean Air Conference organised to mark the 25th anniversary of the ban on the sale of smoky coal in Dublin. It does seem that initiative has improved air quality in our towns and cities where it has been in place. So Daniel O'Donnell's pictured on the front of the Irish Independent. Daniel O'Donnell and his dance partner Christine Rianoff on the first show in this year's series of Strictly Come Dancing on BBC One last night. Judge Len Goodman said he'd the best footwork he'd ever seen. I think he mentioned actually it was the best footwork he'd seen that night. But in any case, the Irish Independent has gone along with that story. Now, also, Minister Michael Noonan wants to give every five-year-old and above a free iPad, would you believe? Finance Minister Michael Noonan has said every child must be given an iPad at the age of five to make Ireland a more tech-savvy country. The minister said the government would push to have computer tablets in every classroom to give children IT skills from an early age. I seem to recall, though, one school, I can't remember if it's here or somewhere else, where they did bring in iPads and other tablet devices for students, and it turned out they got rid of them because it was counterproductive. There were some positives, but quite a bit of negative as well. You're very welcome back, Gavin Halpin. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very, very good. Paper of Films, very busy. I was speaking to your colleague during the week as it relates to the commissioning of that new animated feature, 52 episodes, it is, isn't it, for the BBC and RTE?
That's right, yeah, Pablo. So it's busy times.
Excellent. But you have been focusing on, and I understand, putting the finishing touches over the last wee while to Racked, is that correct?
Yes, so I work mainly in the documentary end of the company, and Racked is starting now on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock on TG Cahir. So it's a series about crimes and tragic stories that have happened in sort of lesser-known parts of Ireland over the last, some are recent, some are 10 years ago, some are more like 100 years ago, so it's quite interesting.
It's one of those subject matters that's difficult to watch but intriguing at the same time. I presume as a filmmaker you have to be very sensitive at how you go about covering murder particularly, which is the main focus of these episodes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very important to us to take time at the start of any project to build. It's a relationship of trust, really, with the family members involved, you know. But the majority of these episodes, we hear directly from the people who are left behind, the mothers, brothers, sisters of lost loved ones, you know. So we value it very highly, their input into the project, and it's a collaboration, really. So, yeah, without them opening up, we wouldn't have a film or a story to tell. So it's hugely important to have that sensitive approach, and that's why these projects can take quite a bit of time and to bring them to the screen.
And when people do agree to take part, generally what do you see their motivation as being?
Well, it varies. I mean, as much as people have different ways of dealing with grief, people view these sort of possibilities or opportunities very differently as well. Some people like to view them as, you know, tribute films in a way, for maybe often when a crime is covered, it maybe makes the news that day or that week, and it's never for 3 or 4 minutes at the end of the news, and it's never heard of again. So to allow somebody to tell a bit more personally, I suppose, more about the character, who that person was over the duration of a half an hour, people tend to see that as a nice way to sort of leave a legacy. But with this series, there are issues that run through each episode as well. So we deal with things like knife crime, you know, homophobia, sort of infanticide, which is quite tragic. So people also see them as opportunities to maybe raise awareness on an issue.
Yeah, it kind of holds a mirror up to us, doesn't it? It's not the act of murder, but what perhaps is the lead up to it and the why.
Exactly, you know, I mean, Rosemary Fitzpatrick, a woman from Dungannon who lost her son Sean. Sean was killed by two men in a hate crime because he was gay, you know. So Rosemary took the opportunity to speak to us because she felt that Sean would have wanted it, and that it would be a way for her to sort of encourage other gay men to not maybe live in the dark and to live a happier life, and that by bringing awareness to this sort of horrendous tragedy, that it would maybe prevent similar things from happening again.
Murder is something, and particularly very violent crimes, as we associate with urban areas, and perhaps more so because that's the majority of where these crimes take place. But your focus is on more quiet, rural, remote parts of Ireland. Was that intentional?
Yeah, I mean, when you research a project like this, the headline acts are always in the cities, you know, Dublin, Belfast, Limerick, but quite often, you know, there are another layer of stories there underneath that deserve a bit more attention and a bit more focus. So yeah, so we made the decision with this project to try and go to where the cameras maybe hadn't been before as frequently, and to try and uncover those stories, because while you're sitting watching the news or reading the paper, whether it be in Anagri or the Sperrin Mountains, you know, you can a certain way you can feel that these things don't happen on your doorstep. They happen in Talla or in Limerick or in more dangerous parts of the country. So in a way, it brings it home to it, and especially for a Tidhg Ceathair audience, which can be largely rural, you know, it's a connection to that idea that, you know, you can't drop your guard at all, that these crimes can happen in any part of the country.
Exactly, and discuss and examine what leads to them, as we were sort of saying at the start of the piece.
Yeah, I mean, in County Kerry, like one of the stories, Stephen Lyon from Killarney in County Kerry was murdered and stabbed with a knife at 17 years of age, 300 yards from his home. And that's something that, you know, knife crime was not really heard of in that area prior to that. And this, you know, the tragic loss of Stephen has left a huge legacy in that area. And his mother, Lotha, speaks to us in the series. And she's very committed to raising awareness of about knife crime and to sort of tell the story of her son that she felt needed to be told, you know.
Well, there's a massive increase in knife crime. 16 people died by stabbing last year. The year before it was 12. So there is a sense that we need to do something about that.
It's actually, the statistics also show that Ireland is one of the worst per head of population for knife crime in Europe. So it is one of those issues that, you know, is underlying in society and has a danger and a threat that can really, you know, the term racked means an outburst of emotion, a fit of anger, you like. And if you lose control of your emotion or you act on an impulse, it can ruin, you know, not just the person who you've attacked, but, you know, several other lives around that person.
Okay, when does it start? Wednesday the 30th of September. That's this coming Wednesday, Gavin, yeah?
This coming Wednesday, yeah. So this coming Wednesday at 10 o'clock on Tidhg Ceathair, and it's every Wednesday night then for 6 weeks. So this Wednesday is a Connemara story about domestic violence, actually, that happened in the late 1800s, where a doctor murdered his wife. So it's very interesting to even view how, at that time in Ireland, you know, things like alcoholism, domestic violence, you know, these were issues that existed.
Mm. Not necessarily new as we might perceive them as.
Yes, exactly. They're not really modern problems.
Gavin, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
No worries.
All right, that's Gavin Halpin there, who is the director of Paper Owl Films. Donald Trump wants to build a big, enormous wall, not along the border with Mexico, given his views on migrants, but it's actually in Ireland. Joe.ie journalist Carl Kinsler joins me on the programme. Hi, Carl.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Not too bad. So what's Donald Trump looking to do exactly? He doesn't want the Atlantic Ocean encroaching on his course. Is that it?
That's exactly it. Donald Trump is looking to protect his investment in Dunebeg, so he's proposing to build a 200,000-ton wall along the coast of Ireland.
And what's the local reaction, if we managed to check that out? Because I think it was quite a controversial purchase in the end, given his history in Scotland before he took over Dunebeg.
It's a controversial purchase, and there's no doubt that Donald Trump is far more out for himself in this matter than he is for the people of County Clare. But the plan itself does seem reasonable enough. It's not going to be any higher above the beach than the cobble bank that actually already exists there. It's not going to interfere with the sort of the aesthetic of the dune face that's already on the beach, and it's not going to damage any wildlife or flora or fauna. So
has he got to you, Carl? It sounds like he's got to you, has he?
No.
He has. He's just lodged $1 million in your account, hasn't he?
I wish Donald Trump would try.
He's a controversial character, but he's got deep pockets. $45 million he's going to be investing in the area over the course of the next few years.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm about to sound a little bit more like he's got to me again, because Donald Trump, the fact is, a €45 million investment in Ireland is quite a good thing for us. Money generates money, and I wouldn't really be, as much as one might, and I do disagree with his politics, you don't want to turn his money away.
I know, but that's been our philosophy for too long, isn't it? We turn a blind eye as long as we get the money.
That is, it's a valid line of argument, but I'm not sure what we could do to influence his politics by taking away his right to own property and operate it in Ireland. But the thing is, Donald Trump, he's a controversial figure. A lot of what he says is bordering on despicable, to be honest. But
maybe we're worrying about that, and I don't follow it too closely, and I'm not sure if you do or not, but he comes out with controversial comments. He's sexist, he's brash, some would say xenophobic, but still the Americans seem to like him. It looks like he is still in the running, when really at this stage I thought he'd just be a laughing stock in the American political scene, but he seems to be a bit of a power horse.
Yeah, I think even the most astute political forecasters really would have predicted that he'd be out of the race by now. But he just seems to be steamrolling on. He was actually booed at a recent junket in front of some staunch conservatives. So I think he is standing on shakier ground than maybe he was a month or two ago. And I think The wisdom is that his popularity will dip as more and more candidates pull out of the primaries, because he's nobody's second choice. So as more and more candidates pull out, so their votes will flock to other people, kind of like Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio.
I know, but the amount of money he's spending on this, it's astonishing. I mean, I know he's got a lot of money, but still.
It's astonishing, and I think it's for that reason that we can hope he ends up pulling out, so he can send more of his money our way.
Money over. He could buy the country, get us out of this problem. That's the solution to the financial crisis. Sell us to Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the unfortunate thing, and he's very unabashed about that. He believes by politicians, and he believes that's the fundamental flaw with politicians. But I would say it's a flaw with politicians. I don't think it's necessarily a flaw with Donald Trump. We need people like Enda Kenny and Joan Burton to be strong enough to tell Donald Trump where to stick his money. That's very true. But until then, he is going to keep buying us.
Yeah, and what was I going to say to you was, he doesn't visit here much, does he? I think his sons do a lot of look after a lot of his business interests outside America. Is that the case? Is it?
Yeah, that is very much the case. I would imagine that Donald Trump has very little personal oversight.
I'd just be concerned at what's happening here. I'd be concerned at what our weather might do to his hair.
Man, I mean, he'd blow it right off.
He needs to build a wall around it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. For all the good that would.
Can we ask Joe.ie going for you? It's hugely popular, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge brand that's really only growing. I think we've recently just launched the Joe.co.uk partner, which is doing fantastic things. There's Mark Chapman from the BBC is working for our English branch now, so it's really strong, and things are looking great.
It's great to see an Irish thing doing so well, and we appreciate you coming on. You're keeping your finger on the pulse of politics then at Joe.ie then.
Absolutely, yeah, that's my purview.
Thanks so much, Carl. Pleasure talking to you.
Great to speak to you. Cheers.
All right, take care. That's Carl Kinsler there, a journalist with Joe.ie. And that's the story that Donald Trump, he wants to build a wall on the west coast of Ireland. He owns Doonbeg Golf Club and Resort in County Clare. He wants to keep the Atlantic Ocean out. Erosion threatening to do a lot of damage to his links course. But, as I said, he's got deep pockets. €45 million he's investing there over the next number of years. 086-77-00-555 is the text line, as always, here in the programme. You can call us 074-91-25000. Devon taking your calls there. Apparently, Daniel O'Donnell, we talked about him at the top of the show. He was on Strictly last night. He got a visit from a very special fan ahead of his debut on Strictly last night. His two-month-old granddaughter, Olivia, popped over to London to make sure Danny Boy, as they call him, had got his dancing shoes on. The Donegal singer took to the floor with partner Christina Rianoff to perform a waltz to Ruby Murray's When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. And got plenty of smiles from cuddly Olivia, who is the first child born to Magella's daughter Siobhan and her husband Gavin Shields. A cute snap was uploaded to Daniel's Facebook page with the caption, "Look who came to cheer Grandad on in Strictly this weekend."
Daniel couldn't be happier having Olivia and the rest of the family in London this weekend. Back home in his native Kincastle, the whole town was joining in the celebrations, recording a special video message for the country music star. And yesterday, Daniel promised to show the Strictly judges some Irish dancing if fans keep him in the programme. Wouldn't that be interesting? Speaking to Maura Duran and Dahi O'Shea on RTE's Today, he said nerves were kicking in, but he hoped his time on the dance floors of Ireland's most famous ballrooms would stand him in a good stead. He said, I'm a nervous as hell. I might look chilled, but I'm not a bit. I'm afraid I was shown Christina some of the steps of a barn dance, so you might see a wee bit of a barn dance. But fair play to Daniel last night. You never know how these things are going to come off, but he did really, really well. Tommy Callahan joins me in the studio now. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good, Greg, thanks.
Great to have you in. What is the crack with you?
Oh, I don't know. Good.
You had a busy summer anyway.
We had a very busy summer, actually, yeah. Lots of stuff on. And probably an even busier winter coming up, you know, so all good.
How long ahead do you plan gigs? I suppose the diary is always open and you can fill them in as much as possibly can, or?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I suppose a lot of it is seasonal, I suppose, you know, summertime's always the busiest time, but gigs normally come in, I suppose, it depends on the venue, depends what you're at. If you're trying to promote a particular song or EP or something, then you're batching a lot of stuff together, but generally 6 months in advance or even up to a year sometimes, but...
Last time we saw you was at Swell, and thanks for giving us such a helping hand out there.
No problem.
Great successful event despite the weather early on.
Absolutely, yeah. There's something special about that weekend. Mm. That's been the second one now, and it'll happen again, no doubt. It just seems to be something that kind of people are getting attached to, you know, and it's just a lovely vibe out there, and everything seems to go smoothly so far, thank God, you know.
Next up for you, we were talking about this last week, and I can't talk about it enough because, you know, it's a national emergency. It's been described by some in this country, and that's homelessness. Simon Community do fantastic work in that regard, and some of the best acts in this region are coming together at the Bala Theatre. It's over the course of a week, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure. Jason Sweeney is organising it, so Jason kindly asked me to join up and sing a few songs on the night, so I've agreed, no problem to do that, and he's a great lineup together there for it, you know, but absolutely glad to help this great cause, you know, so.
Yeah, there is a misconception that this is an urban problem, and obviously when in urban areas, you know, it is more concentrated, but it's right across the country, and it's not people that want to be out of home.
Yeah,
in inverted commas, and I hate the phrase, working class people who can't keep a roof over their heads, and that's the crisis we're in at the moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, I suppose the time is never great for something like this, but the fact that it's Simon Week, I think, in the first week of October, and it's in the public sort of, you know, society at the moment. Yeah. So, you know, it would be great if people could kind of support that when things are really bad for a lot of people, and it's kind of bringing it to the attention, I suppose, and if anything you can do to do that, and like, you know, kudos to Jason for organising this event. I know he's done a few other things for the same Northwest community as well, so
there's a football match. You're not involved in that, are you? No,
no, I'm not.
No, it's Stranola versus Ballybuffet in any
case,
we were chatting last week and I said there'll be some tasty tackles going in on that one, but we'll keep you on the stage where you're safe.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not getting involved in that one at all.
Are you working on any new music at the moment or anything due for release, Tommy?
Yeah, we are indeed. Well, I'm involved. Obviously, you had Mark and talking about the sort of Andromeda Artisans project, so we're involved in that. There's been a couple of releases from that over the last couple of weeks, and we're due to do this, and I think maybe the 9th of October our single's coming out. But a continuous sort of plan of action the whole way through the winter time and into the new year, then with new material coming out. So we have a couple of showcase gigs coming up for that.
Tell us where they are.
Yeah, well, the first one's in, both of them's in the RCC in the town here, and the first one's in the 9th of October. Second one's in November, I think the middle of November. So there's about nine to ten acts in the collective, so we split them over two nights. So it's good value. I think it's €8 for the ticket pre-booking, so there's six acts on the 9th of November. So
sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And do you do more of your writing in the wintertime, maybe? I know you're busy all year round, but the summer is particularly hectic for you guys.
Yeah, well, it's hard to get the time, I suppose, yeah. Especially, like I obviously have a full-time job, too, so it's kind of difficult between gigs and working to find the time. But yeah, wintertime's a good time, you know, when the evenings get dark, there's not much else to do but sit and play guitar.
Well, you used to keep the conveyor belt coming, you know, you take your foot off the gas for 6 months, and you know that upward trajectory that you have, you know, it wouldn't be long stalling. So, I mean, there's pressure in that regard.
Well, absolutely. It does happen, you know, and you kind of, you can become a victim of that very, very easily. Mm-hmm. You have to give yourself a kick every now and then and say, get back on, do more, you know. But there's a lot of stuff in the pipeline. We have actually, I suppose, in one sense, we've kind of been through that a wee bit over the last 6 months, and we have a lot of backed up material we need to get recorded and out there. And like, I intend, I have a lot of songs that I've written myself and necessarily don't sit the band, so I'm hoping maybe to get them out as well, you know.
If you're not busy enough.
Yeah, if I'm not busy enough, another chance.
It'd be great to see a platform for music. You know, I was watching a bit of the Jules Holland show last night, you know, and it'd be great to see RTTV3 have a show, to showcase, you know, not necessarily the big pop stars, like, what was it, Shane from Westlife was on Late Show, but it'd be great to see bands like your own band getting, you know, a national stage like that.
Well,
I know you don't want to sound bitter, or everyone is trying to get on there, but, you know, wouldn't it be nice to see something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, recently that Imelda May show was probably
That's true.
Bit of that.
That's,
you know,
all right, indeed, yeah.
But I suppose it's kind of difficult.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, exactly. But she has introduced quite a few little Irish acts there recently, you know. But I'm not sure. I think it's a difficult. But
it's such cheap TV to make. You see, that's why I don't. You know, like, say you could open up a studio, do exactly what Jules Holland does. Set up four or five bands in one of the big warehouse studios. You know, there's not a huge cost in it.
You know? No, they're absolutely. But you see, I suppose it's kind of like it's almost like a three-tier industry now, like the music industry. You've got sort of like the sort of bottom level, and then the top level, and then the middle level is all, and especially in Ireland, there's like an abundance of quality music acts.
If you take our area here, the quality, you know, that is out there, and it's not just people that can sing, it's songwriting, it's, you know, different types of music, blending of music, all different genres. I suppose there's not going to be a place for everyone, but I would just like to see some of our license fee money going towards helping people get to that next stage. Should we be inviting acts that made famous overseas? Let's make our own acts and export them. That's really what I'm saying.
Well, that's it, really. And then I suppose, you know, that there's kind of like, there's always been a bit of talk about this in the Irish radio, like especially the sort of national radio has sort of been encouraged to play more Irish music and do a lot more homegrown stuff. And they just do the bare minimum, you know. That's a lot of the time what happens. But then a lot of that's controlled by the sort of, you know, the industry as well.
Yeah, but if you get the local radio stations are obliged to play a certain amount of Irish music, but most go way, way beyond that.
Absolutely,
because they
can
be that alternative to the national scene, which in reality, you know, they still have to play Rihanna and Lady Gaga have you, but it's just getting that balance, I suppose. And I think local radio, in fairness to it, is sort of maybe fill in a vacuum there that does
absolutely
exist.
Yeah, well, especially Highland, like, you know, kind of a champion of music, you know, with Paul McDevitt and Jimmy Stafford and stuff at the moment as well. They have a like that new Irish thing that they have. That's great.
That's, you know, Monday that's sessions. Yeah,
that's encouraging a lot of artists and giving them a sort of platform to play, you know, because a bit of the problem about this area as well is just the lack of sort of venues to sort for that kind of music, you know. Unless you're able to fill a theatre or an art centre, you've got that far, then where else do you go, you know?
You know, it's a good point, and I'll tell you, there's a venue that could make itself if I know the consciousness of people are going to be listening. Look, we do this in our venue, but there is an opportunity there with the amount of talent we have for a venue just to be literally showcasing good Donegal music.
Yeah, well, there's
and make a name for themselves.
Absolutely,
on it.
Like, you know, there's lots of music. There's no question. Even in the town here, there's lots of music. But, you know, there's music for, there's people playing cover versions of songs, which is completely grand. Like, we do that ourselves, you know. But I'm just talking about that sort of vehicle for, like, the singer songwriter and young, especially young people.
Well, you're not literally going, right, lads, what do we have to play to make sure there's enough people in there for it to be a successful gig, rather than saying, this is our stuff. It fills up all well and good. If it doesn't, you know.
No, I suppose it's fair to say there is quite a few small venues,
coffee
houses and restaurants that are doing this. You know, I'm not saying it's not happening, but I just think it could be more, because there is obviously a market for it. When you can bring 500 people to an island off the coast of Donegal, and it's mostly sort of acts that don't have any sort of formal success or, you know, big songs and such, then there is obviously a market for that. You
know? If you build it, they'll come. Right. Do you know what dates you're playing in the Baller for the Simon Community Fundraiser?
Yes, the date is the 29th of September. I'm just going to check here and just make sure. 29th, Tuesday the 29th.
Excellent. That's only this coming Tuesday. Right, what are you going to sing for us, Tommy?
I'm going to sing a song called Lay Me Down Tonight.
Brilliant.
The dreams I had
is safely locked inside. So that my ribcage can take the punches of my pride. I'm just buying time so I can change my mind, make my own way right. Come on around and lay me down tonight. The things you need that I just can't provide. Truth is, they don't change no matter how much I've tried. My shoulders are taut from the battles I've fought to mix gray from the black and white. Come on around and lay me down tonight. It took a moment to remember, but a lifetime to forget. Seems a lot of trouble for an outside bed. And most of the time I find you on my mind, between the wrong and the right. Come on around and lay me down tonight. From this height, the fall is looming steep. You said it's the ledge itself that invents the leap. It's only fear that's pulling. I'll jump if you're willing. Together we'll be alright. Come on around and lay me down tonight. It took a moment to remember, but a lifetime to forget. Seems a lot of trouble for an outside bed. And most of the time I find you on my mind, between the wrong and the right. Come on around and lay me down tonight. Won't you come on around and lay me down tonight? Come on around and lay me down tonight.
Tommy Callahan, you never disappoint, Tommy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for
really appreciate
me
it. And best of luck with the winter ahead. We'll be chatting to you, I'm sure. But thanks so much for
thanks
calling.
Thanks very much.
You.
Cheers, Greg.
My pleasure. That's the excellent Tommy Callahan, of course, performs with Our Native State and also his own material there as well. And that week, the important week, Monday 28th of September to Sunday the 4th of October, it's Simon Week. Fundraising events taking place nationwide. And Ballybuffet musician Jason Sweeney, he's put together a packed programme of excellent local musicians for a special charity concert. That's Tuesday night. The full lineup: John Muldowney, Tommy Callahan, as we've just heard, Anya and Sharon Sweeney, Ailey Doherty, Maria McCormack, Graeme Sweeney, Oshie McLean, and Tommy Boner as well. So that is some night to have out and support a worthy cause. Back after this break. I'm joined in studio now by Amy Beth McNulty. Hi, Amy.
Hey, how
is it Amy or Amy Beth?
Amy Beth.
Amy Beth. How are you getting on?
I'm doing grand, yeah.
I'd say things are very exciting in your house, Amy Beth.
Oh, they are indeed, yeah.
Because you are going to be seen in a new programme that's airing on RTE. It's a four-part mini-series directed by Giles McKinnon.
Yep.
And you've got one of the big roles in Clean Break.
I do indeed, yes. The two directors, Gillis McKinnon and Damien O'Donnell, are doing it, and it's going to be on tomorrow night.
How did you get the gig?
Well, basically, I have an agent in London and Dublin, and they got me the audition. And then another audition later, I met the director for episode 1 and 4, that's Gillis, and they told me that I had the role, so it was very exciting.
And did you expect for a second that you would get it? You sound like a confident person, though. You must have thought you had a good chance. But there's so many young actors out there that you're competing against.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of what I kind of do is expect the worst from things, so I don't expect to get something, and if I do get it, it's amazing, and if I don't, then I'm not, like, disappointed or anything. So it was a real honour and crazy amazing to get it.
Because when you do auditions, maybe you're very successful, but it depends on if you match the pot. You're not going to get everything you go for, so yes. You do have to manage expectations,
no,
don't
exactly.
you?
No, exactly. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who has gotten every audition they've gone to or not got every audition they've gone to, you know? Like, you just never know what they're looking for, whether they like you or not, whether you're the right size, the right height, your hair colour, your eye colour. Mm. Anything depends on the character.
But what age are you?
I'm 13.
So you firstly have to match whatever profile it is of the person.
Yes.
Now, Do you have to put an accent on, or?
Yeah, it's set in Wexford, but we filmed down in Wexford and in Dublin. But I had to get a bit of vocal coaching to just get a bit of a Wexford accent.
Can you give us a wee blast, or is that too much to ask?
Oh, geez, sorry, no. I started it then, just about got it, then lost it completely again.
Very
terrible
good.
At the Wexford accent, I'm telling you.
Well, don't say that. I'm sure it'll be perfect on the night. It's an adult kind of a thing, is it?
Yeah, it is.
So it's not for young people, the programme tomorrow night?
No, it's not indeed. It can be quite scary at some points, and, you know, it is about a kidnapping. So it can be very emotional and things like that, but, you know, it is an adult thing. I do think so. That's why it is on at 9:30.
And it kind of fills in that love-hate slot, I think, for RTE. So,
yes, yeah. That is what a lot of people have been saying, is that, you know, we're kind of filling in for love-hate, and... You know, some people are saying, oh God, it's not going to live up to the expectations of Love Hate, but we weren't really expecting that, because Clean Break is not Love Hate, and it never will be. It will be Clean Break, and that is what it will be.
Indeed. And tell us a little bit about yourself when you decided that you wanted to be on stage, because you have already played in The Sound of Music in Regent's Park, which is... no mean feat. How long ago was that?
That was about 2 years ago in 2013. I actually started off with Annie, just down in LMS here in Letterkenny. And that was basically the first thing. I played the wee character Molly in it. And I think from then...
You were addicted from then, weren't you?
Yeah, basically. I mean, when you're 8 years old and you're on stage singing songs and things like that, you know, I was never expecting to really, like, go on TV, for instance. Like, I'm still kind of... shocked by it.
It's until you're sitting down with the family watching it,
exactly.
It probably won't
it
seem real.
It just about sinks in then.
And how has, you know, The Sound of Music or whatever other play or Annie, whatever, you know, you obviously there's tons of rehearse, but you start it, you run it, 2 hours later you finished or whatever. It's stop-start with film TV,
yes.
Isn't it? It's like, you know, you might have to film things out of sequence. Or,
exactly.
How did you find that compared to sort of working on stage? Was it... more enjoyable, less enjoyable, or just something different?
I think it was really interesting and different because I did stage for many, many, many years, and it was kind of the first...
What do you mean, many, many years? You're 13.
Many, many years.
I mean, only joking.
Basically, like,
I know. Relatively speaking, many years.
And... you know, like, I did that for a while, and then all of a sudden it was kind of like doing radio, for instance. So I've done, like, radio dramas, and that was completely different, because, you know, the writer is sitting there watching you as you're recording stuff, and it's kind of... I don't know, there's always something different with everything you do. Like a movie set, for instance, like, it's big and massive, like a Ridley Scott movie I finished earlier. And that was crazy. It was, like, sets...
And is that film, is it still in post-production, is it, that film?
It's in post-production. I don't know if I can say much about it, but...
No, don't risk it anyway.
No, I know,
but
exactly.
It'll be probably late 2016 or something
that.
Excellent. Is it a big part, little part?
It's quite a little part, but it's kind of significant to the story,
in a way. It's the next level for you, that, isn't it? Because, you know, once you start getting those type of roles, your agent needs a pay rise, I think. I'm only joking, although you're very much, very talented indeed.
Oh, thank you.
Is it difficult to keep your feet on the ground?
Well,
because, you know, when you're in that whole showbiz scene and, you know, you're mixing with actors and what have you, and then you come back to Donegal and back to school. And...
Well, I'm homeschooled as well.
Oh, excellent.
But, you know, my parents have been amazing and, you know, they've always told me you have to stay grounded and you can't, you know, let it get to your head or anything. And I don't know, I can't really... I mean, I think it's easy for any actor to let it get to their head and kind of think, oh, I'm a big deal. But it's also very much important. It's really, really important to stay grounded and know that, you know.
And it just goes to show you don't necessarily have to live in a big city to get the part.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people think that, oh, I have to move to London. But if you're good enough, they'll find you out.
I know. I mean, I live here in Donegal and it's a tiny wee town, but, like...
So your other show that people may have seen you on the TV was Sputnik. That was role you played in the Spartacle Mystery. This was for CBBC. How long ago was that put together?
Oh, okay. I think I filmed it about maybe a year ago, I think it was. And then it came on TV, I think it was this year as well.
Very good.
Yeah, it was really exciting to do that.
And anything in the pipeline coming up? I mean, obviously, you know, you've just finished that film that you talked of, or as much as we can say about it. And we're going to see you in Clean Break. The CV's packing out quite nicely for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's looking pretty nice. I don't think it's really about quantity except for quality, you know what I mean? But I'm also in White Christmas in the Millennium Forum down in Derry.
Yes.
So that's really exciting. It's a really lovely Christmas musical and it's kind of, you know, family orientated. So I think...
Have rehearsals started for that yet?
Yeah, they have.
It's amazing how much planning and preparation.
Yes, exactly. I just went to my first rehearsal yesterday, actually.
Excellent.
And it's looking really good. And I've got a radio drama coming up called Fat Little Thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be coming on soon. And that's on BBC Radio. And yeah, that's kind of me right now, and now I'm just waiting for the winter.
Exactly. Well, it sounds like you're gonna be busy. Your family must be very proud of you, are they?
They're always saying they're really proud of me, and you know, they help me so much with like driving me, say, to Dublin, like for an audition.
And in and out of auditions in Derry is not. It's not up. Exactly next door, is it?
No.
Well, it is in terms of counties, but it's a bit of a drive.
It's a bit of a drive. It's about an hour drive, and they've been really amazing, and I really thank them for it, for just driving me places. Like, I would not be doing what I am today.
Well, that's what parents do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what would your dream role be if you could pick something?
Oh, that's hard. I guess it's not a dream role, but it's someone to work with on anything.
That'll do. Yeah, that'll do.
Is Saoirse Ronan.
Right.
She's kind of been my idol for, like, basically...
For those who not... What would she be best known for?
Oh, she was in Hannah, the movie. She was in How I Live Now, which is the new movie. It's actually on Netflix, I think. And you probably recognise her. She's...
How many times have you watched Hannah? And I want a very honest answer.
I watched it recently again.
How many times have you watched it?
Like 3 times.
Is that all?
I haven't got the DVD yet.
I thought you were going to say 1,000 times. That's not too bad. Well, listen, we can't wait to see you on our tellies.
Perfect.
And you're very, very busy. I can't wait to find out about this Ridley Scott film either.
Yeah, exactly.
When we can... It's difficult because you don't want to get into any bother.
Yeah,
either.
I know.
But look, fantastic to speak to you. You're hugely impressive. You're obviously going places. Do you fancy yourself as a singer as well? Or
I do, yeah. I do acting, singing and dancing, and I just got a new dance teacher, so I'm properly back into the dancing now.
Did you watch Daniel last night? No?
I didn't. No.
Okay, well, I suppose you were busy. Amy Beth McNulty, thanks so much for coming into the show. Your inspiration, 13 years of age. And we're going to see Amy in Clean Break. It's a 4-part miniseries for RTE, and it's on tomorrow night. What time, 10, did you say?
It is at 9:30
p.m. 9:30, okay. Yes. And the plot of it is about a businessman that gets into financial difficulty and he goes to desperate measures, and we see how that'll pan out over the 4 episodes. Okay, that's it for now. It's 12 minutes past 11. Back with more on the Weekend Edition after this commercial break. Stay tuned.